Let's read from verse 1 through verse 18. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. Now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed the womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the afflictions of thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Amen. Cool. So we have 1 week before our Pentecost Sunday. And I just wanted to spend this week going through this passage, because this is really what kind of got us in gear for this year, at the beginning of the year, when PSAM talked about this. And then when GA reminded us a few weeks ago about this story, and how PSAM had a word in the beginning of the year. Yeah, he had a picture for this year, and that if we would, like Hannah, if we would come before the Lord and really pour out our soul before the Lord, then God will do the impossible for us in our lives. And to be honest, many of us probably forgot about that picture. Many of us probably forgot about what he said in the beginning of the year. But GA, when she preached about Pentecost Sunday and just getting our hearts ready, you know, she reminded us that this was the word of the Lord for us this year. So I just thought it would be cool if we spent a bit of time in the morning to read the word and meditate on this passage and talk about, you know, what God is saying through this passage. So this morning, what I wanted to focus on today was just the historical background before this incident happens. Israel, many of us know, is in Egypt as slaves for about 400 years. And God raises up this servant Moses. And Moses is the one that eventually goes to Egypt, goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. And through various miracles and and plagues that happen, Pharaoh lets them go and they get out of Egypt and they're supposed to go to the promised land, but because of their rebellion, they spend 40 unnecessary years in the desert and then they finally make it to the promised land. Moses dies, of course, but Joshua takes over and he leads the people into the promised land. But sadly, when they get to the promised land, all is not well. You know, they forget about the Lord quite quickly, and the people of Israel start, you know, living their life in a manner not worthy of their calling, and they start sinning, they start forgetting the Lord, they intermarry with other nations, and they worship idols, and they do all these stupid things, and every time they are living in disobedience, God would send upon them some kind of calamity, a disaster, you know, another people will come and oppress them and take them captive and all these things. That's just the book of Judges. If you read through the book of Judges over and over again, people would mess up and they would do something stupid and God's judgment would come upon them and they cry out to God and God raises up a leader, right? A judge or a hero or a heroine, and he or she comes to rescue the people, and then they would be doing okay for a little bit, and then they screw up again, you know, they mess up, and they sin, they forget about what God had done, and they start living their lives their own way, and then God would have to bring judgment, and then raise up someone to help them out of this mess, and the book is called Judges, because, you know, all these different judges arise from Israel to rescue them, and to help them, and to lead them out of their trouble, and back to the Lord. But it's interesting, at the end of Judges, if you turn with me to Judges chapter 21, verse 25. Judges chapter 21, verse 25. This is what it says of the state of the people of Israel. In that time, it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And the sad thing is, the Lord was supposed to be king over the people of Israel. But even the Lord hadn't taken his place as king in the lives of these people. They were just doing whatever they seemed fit in their own eyes. And there was quite a state of chaos in the country. You know, people were doing whatever they wanted to do, and they weren't following the Lord together as a people of God, as they were meant to follow the Lord. So this is the state that they're in. And if you turn to the book of Samuel, we come to the priest Eli. Shiloh is the place that Eli is at. That was the place where the people of Israel were supposed to come to worship the Lord and to sacrifice to him. And that was the place where the priest used to be. And the priest, you know, one priest over the country of Israel, and he is supposed to be the leader, right, of the nation, and to really seek after the Lord's face for the nation and all these things. But we see that Eli, really, he was not doing a very good job as a priest. You know, if you read about him, just later on in the chapter, you hear about his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who really screw up. They're just really messing around. They're sleeping with the women of the temple, and they're cheating people out of their sacrifices and disobeying God and everything that they're doing. And Eli is passively just watching them, and they try to tell him, hey, you probably shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, he doesn't do anything. And later on, if you keep reading on, in chapter 3, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, it says about the time, it says, and the word of the Lord, or word from the Lord, was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. You know, the Lord had almost taken away his presence in Shiloh, because the priests were not living according to the will of God and the ways that God had requested of these people. So this is the state, you know, that the people of Israel are in. And what I want to say to you today is, here's this woman, Hannah, and she is just crying out to the Lord for a son, right? She's just desperate, and she's bitter in her heart. She's really discouraged because her rival, the other wife, is really making fun of her and provoking her and irritating her. And she is really down and really distressed and disturbed in her heart. And all she wants is some kind of justice from the Lord. And she's coming out before the Lord and crying out and saying, God, do something. Because she is so bothered in her heart and she really needs the Lord to come through. But from our point of view of the story, we can see that God, you know, God is doing something much greater than just giving a woman a son, a child. You know, she's crying out and she's not really thinking about, you know, the background. She's not really thinking about what is God doing in this picture, you know, in this time, and the role that Samuel would eventually have in leading this nation back to the Lord, right? She has no idea that through her prayers, through her desperate prayers to God, God would give her a son, and that son would eventually become the leader of Israel to bring them out of this mess and to, you know, anoint kings and really bring the people back to the Lord. But she's, you know, on her own, she's just crying out and saying, God, you got to come and meet my need because I'm desperate and I'm really hurt and I'm broken. But for us, we can see how God is in the middle of all of this. You know, God is doing something that is much greater than just her getting a son that she's asking for. So what I want to say today is, you know, there are things that we're praying for, right? Some of us, we're praying for the salvation of our family members, our parents, our sisters, our brothers, and our friends. Some of us may be praying for a husband or a wife. You know, I'm praying, I pray for my youth group students, you know, and I pray that God would really come and meet with them and do something in them to change them. And part of it is I'm just frustrated at how slow these kids are changing, and then nothing seems to be happening, and it's out of my own desperation, frustration, and there are a few other things that I'm praying about. And this is a year of the impossible. I need the Lord to come and move. But this insight really encourages me because, you know what, who knows what's going to happen as I pray and pray and pray and cry out to the Lord, and these kids, even one of them, eventually changes, right? And they meet the Lord, he or she meets the Lord, encounters the Holy Spirit, is filled up with the Holy Spirit. You know, he or she could be the next Samuel for this generation, you know? And so for all your prayers that you're praying for, you know, for us, we're just thinking, man, I want you God to come and meet my need because I'm desperate and I want you to do something and I'm frustrated at what's happening. But God, you know, God can do so much with what you're asking for, you know? So that's what I wanted to talk about today. You know, Hannah had no idea that her son eventually would become the leader of the nation, but she just cried out of her bitterness and her discouragement and her desperation. And most of us probably have things that we're just frustrated about, we're crying out to God about, but, you know, God's probably got something even greater and even grander in mind than what we can even think of. So just application really is, let's not be discouraged and let's really come before God and continue to pray and cry out, pour out our soul. We have, I mean, if we're really thinking about Kairos moment, we have 1 week left of this Kairos moment where we're going to cry out to him and we're just depending on the Lord to come and do something that is impossible. So let's close our eyes today and ask the Lord to speak to us. thirsty. All who are thirsty. All who are weak. Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the ways of his mercy. Deep cries out to thee. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. All who are thirsty, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the ways of his mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Deep cries out to thee, as deep cries out to thee. Deep cries out to thee. Deep cries out to thee. We sing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Group prayer focus. Let's lift up our pastor, Pastor Sam. He's back in the States. They're having a memorial service for his mom this Sunday, I think, or this week. So let's just cover him, cover his family. Let's pray for God's mercy. You know, I'm sure it's very difficult for him this time. So let's just pray for him and ask the Lord to be with him. And while we're praying for that, let's also pray for the members of our church that are going through a tough time. Let's just cover them.
Yeah, that's his cover. You know, Grace, her mom, and the whole situation still, and just anyone else that you know at church, they're just going through a tough time, whether it's family members or just they themselves, they're having a tough time with God. So just cover them and ask the Lord to come and really, Holy Spirit, come. Look, Jesus, come and really minister to them. So let's spend a little bit of time praying, and I'll close. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you just for your word. We thank you that, you know, you can do so much more. God, your plans and your ways are so much higher, greater, God, that we even understand or we can even see with our eyes. So, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to help us. Holy Spirit, would you encourage us, God, and fill us with passion and perseverance, God, for the things that we're crying out to you for. Lord, lead us, Holy Spirit, this morning to pray. We ask for just our members, God, at church, starting with our pastor, God, and everyone else who is in need, God, that you would come and be the ever-present help, God, in time of need, God, that you will bring your grace and your mercy upon them, Father God, to get them out of this situation, God, and really give them a strong back, God, to really go through this time until you bring them out of this stage of their lives, God. So just, Lord, help them and be with them, Father. We thank you this morning. We bless you. We praise you. We ask, Holy Spirit, come to this place this morning as we pray to you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So bless you guys. Have a good day. Thank you.